If you know this story, then I'm willing to bet that you remember it from Sunday school or a children's storybook or maybe from Louis Armstrong singing about it in the early 1950s. There's something about the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that kind of roll off the tongue and stick in your mind. And there's something about flames and furnaces and angels that makes for a great storybook. This text is set during the exile to Babylon. So the Israelites have been removed from their homeland and taken to a foreign land where they are forced to abandon everything, homes, traditions, even their faith. Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon, portrayed here as a ruthless and self-involved king. And really, to a great extent, history agrees with this description. So we have a very powerful man who decides he wants to be all-powerful, who makes rash decisions based on his own whims, and everyone below him is supposed to just fall in line. Now, I don't know if this situation sounds at all familiar to you, but it seems to me that once we make this connection, we see that this story definitely has something to offer us in our own time. Nebuchadnezzar has a golden statue made. It is huge, approximately 90 feet tall by 9 feet wide. And it's gold, so it is opulent and bright. And he's so very pleased with his statue that they have a huge dedication ceremony. Something in me wants to say, the biggest dedication ceremony you've ever seen. Big, biggest, you've never seen anything bigger. And Nebuchadnezzar decides that everyone is required to fall down and worship this statue. Well, he receives notice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are refusing to worship the statue. And he has them brought in, and on threat of death, orders them to fall down and worship. And again, they refuse. And their words here are striking. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship your golden statue that you have set up. The three, they aren't testing God to see if God will show up. They're just standing steadfast in the truth of their faith. They know in their bones that worshiping a golden statue is wrong, and they refuse to compromise that belief, no matter the consequences. We live in a world that would have us compromise our own morals and integrity and our beliefs at every turn. And it's especially easy to find these examples as we approach Christmas. We just got through Black Friday and Cyber Monday, with the world telling us that if we didn't spend all of our money on all of the things, that we would be missing out, lacking, unfulfilled. The world has turned Christmas into a giant marketing scandal that would have us believe that true happiness and fulfillment comes from many expensive gifts under a beautiful Christmas tree and the perfect family sitting around the perfect table, overflowing with the perfect food, while snow falls delicately and poetically outside the window. So basically, if you live in a snow globe, then you're golden. But this, it's a lie. We know that peace and love and fulfillment is found only in Christ, in the one who came, in the one who is coming. While the world, like Nebuchadnezzar, would have us believe, we have only the option of believing them, falling in line, and doing as they say. We do have another option. We can take the stance of uncompromising commitment to the truth, as in, I am the truth and the truth will set you free, kind of truth. We can say, no, I won't fall for your ads and your scams and your rhetoric. I will not believe in your lie. I will not buy into your desire to put me into debt, and I will stand here telling you that I will never worship any other than my own God. And just as Nebuchadnezzar did, the powers of the world will be more than frustrated at our integrity. Nebuchadnezzar called for the furnace to be stoked to 7 times hotter than was customary. He got in such a snit. So intense were those flames that the ones who actually threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they died. But an amazing thing happened. The three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, unbound now, were seen walking in the middle of the fire. And not just the three of them, but joined by an angel, because God did show up. And God shows up for us too. God shows up in the form of a baby, a real, crying, helpless, messy baby who cannot help but get into your heart and your head. And God shows up as a man whose selflessness, grace, and compassion reveal to us a God who will stop at nothing to continue to be with us. And out of their witness came the second miracle of that day, and I'd argue it's no less amazing than the first. For after witnessing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, joined by an angel in the fiery furnace, the cold, selfish heart of King Nebuchadnezzar was changed, thawed, and ready to look outward for the first time ever. It's the Grinch whose heart grew 3 sizes that day. And this leads me to 2 important conclusions. First, our witness to the truth, it is necessary. Our faith requires it of us. Standing against the powers and principalities of this world, refusing to say that it's okay to find our value and worth in things, refusing to bow to the powers that be, who stand for everything that goes against our faith, it is deeply important for us to maintain our firm stance. In his letters from Birmingham jail, Martin Luther King Jr. referred to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as people who exemplify civil disobedience in the best way. And we cannot fall prey to the rhetoric. We must stand with them. And the more we stand shoulder to shoulder, the stronger our witness becomes and the stronger we each become too. And secondly, our witness to the truth, it has the power to change the hearts and minds of those who are watching us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't go into the furnace to prove anything to Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, they didn't even go so far as to ask God to save them. They said, if God does save us, great. But if God doesn't, then we will remain unswerving in our faith and in our disobedience to you, Nebuchadnezzar. But then when Nebuchadnezzar saw what the three did and what God did in turn, he was changed drastically and forever. We learn from this story that our witness to the truth has the power to influence. It has the power to change others. As we begin our journey through the season of Advent, toward Christmas, toward the Christ child, may our lives be examples of bold, unapologetic witness to the truth. The truth that says God is God, that our value comes only from being a child of that same God, and that there is nothing that anyone else can do to diminish that value. May we stand steadfastly as people of unswerving faith. May we live the truth as people set free, working to free the world from everything that ensnares. In the end, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Our God is coming to save and deliver us all. There is no greater truth than this. Amen.